thy name from the earth, and what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and have put it even among their own stuff. I'm sure the Lord will add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word for his name's sake. Amen. Godly Father, in the worthy and precious name of Jesus, we humbly and reverently approach thy throne of grace. Our Father, we ask you just hide me behind the cross, and that you would give me the ability to bring forth thy word as you have instructed. What's interesting is that after the two messengers returned from Jericho, they reported to Joshua, and he assembled all his people on the banks of the Jordan, and he has said to them, listen carefully to what I have to say. And that's a reference from chapter 6. Not 7, but 6. And he said to them, as soon as the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant put their feet in the water, the river will stop flowing. The water coming from the source will cease, and a path of dry land will appear. On this, you will be able to cross safely to the other side. And it happened. A great miracle. Jericho was in a state of siege. The gates bolted shut against the Israelite army. And the Lord said to Joshua, each day in chapter 6 of Joshua, for 6 days, you and all your men shall walk once around the city walls. The ark shall be carried behind you, led by 7 priests holding the trumpets made out of ram's horns. On the 7th day, you shall circle the city 7 times. The priests shall blow their trumpets, and the people shall shout to the skies. Then the walls of Jericho will fall to the ground, and so it happened. So Joshua warned the men not to make a sound for 6 days, but on the 7th day they all walked for the 7th time around the city. And Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given the city to you. And so the Israelites raised a great shout, the priests blew their trumpets, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Great, great miracle. Great, great miracle. But in the very next chapter of Joshua, Joshua chapter 7, we read that, and Joshua sent men to Jericho, from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed it. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 and 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor hither, for they are but a few. And they did that. And So Joshua sent up 3,000, about 3,000 men, and they fled from Ai. They ran away. And about 36 men were killed as they were running away. And it was a very humiliating defeat. And it was somewhat perplexing to Joshua because here it was in Joshua chapter 6, a few days before they had defeated the city of Jericho and the people therein. And then within a matter of days, possibly weeks, they incur this great defeat. I don't know if you've ever experienced in your life or noticed in your life how sometimes there's a short step between a great victory and a great defeat. You know, sometimes God will give you a great victory. And sometimes he'll give you a few great victories. But somewhere in there comes a defeat. One moment you're riding high in the midst of some spiritual success, and the next moment you plunge in the valley of some spiritual failure. And it's like that in the book of Joshua. When most people think of the book of Joshua, they think of the Jewish army at Jericho. But it's a very short step between the great victory in Joshua chapter 6 and the very great defeat in Joshua chapter 7. That's how the enemy works. The enemy will try to defeat us, particularly when we fail at something. Usually the failure is particularly painful, particularly when we sin, particularly in an obvious way that is clear to bring destruction. We are in a spiritual warfare, and there's going to be victories and there's going to be defeats. I know that I'm not perfect, and I'm speaking to kings and priests, so I'm sure by God's grace, all of us are great. But there are times when every king is threatened by an enemy. And our enemy is Satan and his agents. So what can account for a change like that from Joshua 6 to Joshua 7? A change so rapid, and God even responded to Joshua and said, "Stand up. What are you doing on your face? Israel has sinned, and sin has caused the failure." So we see that in verses 6 through 11. "And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, and he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their faces. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we have been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of this, and it shall environ around us and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do upon thy great name?" And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore thou lowest upon thy face. Israel has sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. So what's interesting, it's a very interesting story, but it really applies to all of us. And the reason why it applies to all of us is that as believers, sin is what destroys the victory in our lives. Sin is what destroys the victory in the life of a believer. Therefore, it cannot be tolerated. This story teaches us about the birth of a sin, the progress of the sin, and how sin can really spring full-blown into our lives. Generally, there is a process by which it develops. Then the sin is nurtured, then it grows, and then it brings forth destruction. So what happened here? Well, there was a warrior by the name of Achan, and Achan had done something here. And Achan went to the battle at Ai, and he did something during that battle. I'm sorry, at Jericho, and he did something during that battle. And what had happened here was that he was dissatisfied. He was dissatisfied with what God was doing in his life. And sin always begins that way. Sin always begins with dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction of what God is doing for you and for me. And if we are dissatisfied, and if we're not trusting God, and we're not looking to Him, sin has an opportunity to enter into our lives. But if we are trusting in God, and we are looking to Him, sin doesn't have an opportunity to enter in. But if we are dissatisfied, we are leaving ourselves open for whatever else may come along. So if you take, for example, the account of Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve were dissatisfied with all that God had given to them. God said to them, the only thing that I'm withholding from you, the only thing that I forbid you not to do, is to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But they were dissatisfied with that. They were dissatisfied with that beautiful Garden of Eden that God had placed them in. David, the greatest king of Israel, he was dissatisfied. He was dissatisfied by simply being the second king of Israel. He was dissatisfied with all the great victories that God had given to him over the Philistines and the many other nations that opposed him. God fulfilled his promise to David, gave him many victories, made him a great king. But David was still dissatisfied. He was dissatisfied with his wives. He was dissatisfied with his concubines. And he had at least 29 or 30, if you combine all of them. So sin entered in. Solomon was dissatisfied with what God was doing for him in his life. He loved many foreign women, as well as the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edenites, the Hittites, from nations of whom the Lord said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. And if we look at just these examples, out of dissatisfaction, further acts of sin and disobedience occur. In the case of Adam and Eve, they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In the case of David, he sinned with Bathsheba. In the case of Solomon, his wives turned him away from God. It was the Apostle Paul who said, I press toward the mark for the high calling in Christ Jesus. And said in that very letter, I have learned, whatever state that I am in, to be content. Paul said in writing to Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. And when we are content, we are trusting in God and glorying in his goodness and not worrying about what we don't have. Secondly, in this story, sin progressed in the case of Achan by covetousness. So let's take a look at that. Verse 10, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, whither liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they were a curse. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the cursed thing from amongst you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that when that is taken, and it shall be that he that has taken the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought forth Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought forth the family of Judah, and he took the family of the heights, and brought the family of the heights man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said to Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus I have done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, I then coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out in the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua said, and Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And Israel and all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones until this day. And the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor until this day. So sin progressed in this case by Achan and Achan's covetousness. Achan began to covet that which was not his. Now, according to the law of war in that day, the possession of the conquered became the possession of the conqueror. Achan must have said to himself, I participated in the victory. I killed a number of the enemy. I am the conqueror. I can take what I want, or at least at a very minimum, that which I can carry. But he made a great error at that point, because neither Achan nor Joshua nor the armies of Israel were the conquerors. God was the conqueror in Jericho. And God has explicitly said that the spoil of the battle belongs to me. Specifically gave them instructions. The spoil of the battle belongs to me. And we could see that in Joshua chapter 6. Verses 18. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves a curse. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. So God specifically told them, do not touch of the accursed thing. But it's interesting how Achan described the garment that he had taken. And here's what Achan said. It's in verse 21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment. He didn't say a Babylonian garment. He said a goodly Babylonian garment. And 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them. So we see that in the case of Adam, as described earlier, when you think about Genesis, the woman had seen that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes. In the case of David's fall, it is written that from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. Solomon was known to seek after beautiful women. This is why God describes the sin of Israel this way. They have taken some of the devoted things they have stolen. That is, they have stolen from me. They have lied, and they have put the devoted things with their possessions. But they were not their possessions, but they belong to God. Achan probably thought it was a small amount to take. However, he was really stealing from God. And when Achan, dissatisfied with what God was doing in his life, set his eyes upon the goal, which represents materialism, and the garment, which represents fashion, success, sophistication, he was coveting that which was destined to bring destruction to his own soul. We don't have to labor to apply these kinds of temptations to our lives today. Materialism and success, fashionability, are some of the great sins of our time. Unfortunately, they are the sins of some Christian people. We want to be like the world. We want to have what the world has. The third step in the sin of Achan that flows from dissatisfaction is coveting. That is, Achan stole, he lied, and he hid these things in his tent where he didn't think they'd be found. So in the case of Achan, and so it is in the case of our lives, if we allow sin to grow and do not bring it to God for confession, forgiveness, and cleansing, it just grows until it destroys us. So Israel was defeated. They were defeated at Ai, and Joshua threw his face down before the Lord, and God said there was sin in the camp. And he directed Joshua to find the source. So they began to search. And they did so by lots. All the tribes lined up. And the lot, we are told, fell on Achan. Achan exposed before Joshua and the people, as well as before God, did confess his sin. But the most frightening thing of all had to do with the exposure of the sin. At the time of the theft, Achan thought to himself, no one is looking. And in the tumult of the battle, set his eyes upon that which was not his. He probably thought how much in life he didn't have. He said, no one is looking. No one will see. I can take these things, and later, maybe years later, I will come back and dig them up. Or maybe even travel with the stolen property in his tent. But we know the sin was brought to light. We are told that when the stolen things were brought to light, Joshua and all of Israel took Achan and his family to the valley and said to him, you have brought disaster on us. Now God is going to bring disaster on you and your family. I think at that moment in the valley, Achan had to think that this sin destroyed not only his life, but that of his family and all that he had. His family, his friends, his property, and they stoned him there. God makes our trouble a valley of hope. You ever think about that? God makes our trouble a valley of hope by taking the trouble upon himself. Jesus went down in that valley, and Jesus endured the judgment of the sins of the world, so that by his death, a door of hope could be opened for all of us. If you are here and you're not saved, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to do so today. As we come to the eighth chapter, here's where this part of the story ends. In Joshua chapter 8, it reads, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise. Go up to Ai. See See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his hand. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for prey unto yourselves, lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city, and go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass, when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. Verse 6, for they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they flee before us as at the first, therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire according to the commandment of the Lord to do so. Shall ye do so? See, I have commanded you. So Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of the Israel, before the people of Ai, and all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city, and they pitched on the north side of Ai, and now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up quickly, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at that time appointed before the plain. But he wist not that there were liers in ambush behind the city. And Joshua and all of Israel, as they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness, and the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue them. After they pursued Joshua and were drawn from the city, and there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went out, not after Israel, and they left the city open and pursued Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out thy spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city, and the ambush quickly arose out of their place. And as they ran, and soon as he stretched out his hand, and they entered the city and took it and hasted and set it on fire. So it's amazing how we can have a great defeat, but if we give it to the Lord, he can turn that defeat around and make it into a great victory. Amen? It's amazing how you can have a great defeat in life. And God tells you to regroup, and you regroup, and you give it to him, and he can give you a great victory. I don't know about you, but that's happened in my life. And this victory was something. The crumbling of the walls of Jericho was miraculous. But the second attack on Ai was not miraculous. When we travel in this life, certain victories will be miraculous, but most will be fought in a non-miraculous way. With us on the line, but God by our side. But in the beginning, the Lord said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua chapter 1, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So oftentimes, you know, young people ask, what's the route of success? Well, the route of success is be strong and courageous. But the route of success is also to give everything to God and to do what God told Joshua. Meditate on his word day and night. And that's what Joshua did. It's interesting because he told Joshua to be strong and courageous because Joshua was going to face many battles. And always remember as you travel through life, trust in the Lord, for he will be with you wherever you go. He will sustain you and will give you the victory wherever you go. The victory in the right in this life is steady obedience to the Lord. And the Lord will give you a miracle from time to time. The Lord will elevate you and put you places that you never dreamed possible. But the real warfare will be done by steady obedience to the Lord, coupled with faith in him. And he will sustain you through the trials. You know, it's very interesting, you know, talking about success, you know. I was in Texas last summer, and many of you know Vakina Bonet, who's no longer Vakina Bonet, she's Vakina Bonet Wolf. She has four children, all beautiful children. I was sitting by the pool, and I was watching one of her twins, and I believe his name is Ezra. And they look so much alike, you know. But there are all these little things in the pool, you know, rocks and this and that. And I think he's about 5 or 6 or 7 years old. I mean, a young kid, and this kid's running up and down, jumping off of a rock, jumping off of almost a tree, you know. Not that high a tree, but he was jumping into the water. And I turned to Keisha's husband, and I said to him, I said, this kid's gonna go far in life. And I said, the reason why he's gonna go far in life is because he's being brought up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. And he has no fear. So one of the keys to success, young people, stick close to the Lord. And whatever it is that God selects you to do with your life, have no fear. God is with you. Amen.
Our brother for that timely word, both to us and of course